In case y'all didn't realize, we started a new month today. So we have a new memory verse. You know, the elders and Russ got in a lot of trouble, put together a theme for the month. And Russ always complains that whenever he's out the first of the month, we preach on his topic. So he waited till Wednesday to ask me to do this, so I'm not going to actually preach on his topic. In fact, I had to do a little figuring out what I was going to say. So I started going through my notes, and I found a sermon I preached about 25 years ago. And I used, overheads then. They didn't have PowerPoint back then. So it gave me a good place to start. And I think you'll enjoy it. But first, let's go over our memory verse for this month. It says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." You know, I'm looking forward to seeing how he's going to spend the month addressing that. There's so many prophecies that are so important. And, of course, the only one that really concerns us is the one that's left, the New Testament prophecy that we just saw a little foretaste of when Chris read it. And that's about the coming of the judgment. So keep that in mind this month. Try to work on the memory verse. We're going to talk a little about something a little different tonight. We're going to talk about the how much comparison there is between human children and God's children. Human children are born to parents or they're adopted. That's the only way that we get children. I think God was having a little laughter when he gave us children. Because I think he likes to sit back and say, "You deal with this problem. This is what I have to deal with you, Andrew, all the time." You know? And so keep that in mind as we go through. But God's children are born of the Spirit by adoption. That's the only way you become God's child, is by him adopting you. He's told you how that occurs. But we don't go down to the court, and we don't fill out papers, and we don't get some judge to say, "Okay, you're this person's child." I have adopted children. I know how that process works. But with God's children, we admit that God's the creator. We admit that his son is Christ. And we're baptized into his family. And he adopts us. We become his children. And there is no difference between biological children and adopted children to a family. And there's no difference among God's people. We're all adopted. There's no special deal. God didn't create Andrew as a special child. We're all start out in the same playing field. In Romans 8:14 through 15, it says, "For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You know, we have to be led by that spirit. We have to be looking to God to how we live. You know, our children look to us how to do things, right? You'll see some child doing something, you'll say, "Boy, it's just like his dad." And even with adopted children, they say the same thing because they pick up your habits. So if we look to God, we can pick up God's habits. Human children hunger for food and love. God's children hunger for spiritual food and love. You know, that's one of the reasons we want to become God's children. We're looking for that missing love. And once we become it, we hunger after spiritual food. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "So put away all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they should be satisfied." You know, as a child of God, we need to be like that baby. You know, babies really get upset when they don't get fed regularly. You know, and we need to be like that. If I don't get up and have my food from the Bible every day, I should be like that child. I should be dissatisfied. You know, that should be what's really important to me. is how to get more of that. Because you know, anybody that's dealt with any kind of child, when they get hungry, they start getting a little upset. They get cranky, if nothing else, even when they're above the stage of being infants. Well, human children grow physically, mentally, and emotionally. And, you know, we see that. You know, as they start getting to different points in their life, we expect different things out of them. You know, we expect them to get bigger. If they don't, we take them to the doctor, right? We want to find out what's going on. If they're not developing mentally or emotionally, we look for help to find out what's wrong. Well, you know, God's children grow spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. You know, when we see somebody not developing, especially like a new Christian, or someone that's been one for a while and they just don't seem to be progressing, we need to be concerned just like we would be if our child wasn't developing. You know, it's all of our responsibility to help all of us get to heaven. We have a special responsibility with new Christians to help them on that road. There's a lot of obstacles out there. You know, 1 Peter 2 and 1, it told us to put away all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, envy, and slander. This is part of growing mentally and emotionally as a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says, "But I, brothers, cannot address you as spiritual people. People of the flesh, as infants, Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of flesh and behaving only in a human fashion?" You know, the Apostle Paul said, you know, you got a problem. You ought to be matured. You ought to be ready to start doing more in the service. You know, whatever it is that your talent is, you need to start doing it. You're not growing. He says, you know, I've got some really important stuff I'd love to share with you, Andrew, but, you know, mentally you're not ready. You haven't grown up. You know, when you have children, there's certain things that they're not ready to learn until their minds develop. We as Christians have to develop our minds. Andy brought us a good topic this morning. There's some things, no matter how mature we get, we're never going to understand, nor does God tell us we need to understand. But there are things that we need to be growing up to where we can discuss. We need to talk about the meatier matters of spiritual things, not just the milk, not just the so-called five steps to salvation. We need to be able to talk about what it means. We ought to be able to answer people's questions. We ought to know where to go to look for those answers. It doesn't mean I'm going to know them off the top of my head, but I shouldn't be afraid of somebody asking me why I believe something. You know, human children, we see them. They entertain their friends, their parents. You know, when you get to teenagers, we really worry about that because they don't have real good choices in friends a lot of times. But they'll imitate them no matter what kind of friends they have. Well, God's children hopefully will imitate Christ and his fellow Christians. So there's a responsibility for me to set a good example. Now, I've been a Christian for a lot of years. So I need to be a good example because other people are looking to me. Not only outside, but they look at you from the inside. You need to be one of those to help people have a good example of what it means to serve God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." And we've all seen that. All through our lives, we've seen good people that fall away from the church, good people we knew in school that went down the wrong road because they got to running around with the wrong people. You can do that as a Christian. You can start putting things of the world, people of the world, ahead of your Christian family, and they're going to influence you. I don't ever read in the Bible where it says, "Andrew, you're a good guy, you're going to influence the bad." The only thing I read in the Bible is, "Andrew, you stay away from the bad because they're going to influence you." You teach them, but you don't spend your time with them. You spend them with your Christian family. It says, "Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us." So the other thing is, am I running my life like God wants it run? Am I looking to him? You know, our children watch us constantly when they're young. And we got to be that way with God. We got to just be, we want to, what is his habits? You know, how does dad walk? How does mom do certain things? That's how we need to be with God. How does God want me to be? How can I be more like God every day? Human children communicate by voice and actions. You know, a baby doesn't, he doesn't have to be able to talk for you to figure out what's wrong most of the time. You don't, may not know exactly what's wrong, but you know there's a problem. And God's children communicate by prayer, singing, and our actions. In a way we act, the way we talk, the things we do, the fact that we pray, that's how we communicate. You know, Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, if you take a young child, you know, when they're still dependent upon their parent and they haven't gotten to that point of being a teenager and thinking they know it all yet, you know, they'll let their parents know what their needs are. They're very open. And so we need to be like that with God. You know, we need to be able to go to prayer and tell God what's worrying us today. We need to turn it over to Him, let Him take care of it. You know, when a kid's worried about something, they talk to their parents. Most of the time they calm down, they're real happy. Christians should be the same way. In James it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So, you know, if I'm having a struggle in my life, I need to feel like I can talk to you about it. You know, maybe I just need you to call me every day and say, Andrew, did you read your Bible today? You told me you're having trouble doing that. I'm just trying to help you out. You know, sometimes that's all somebody needs, is somebody just to call and say, but you got to know me well enough to know that I need that help and I got to feel good enough about you to tell you. You know, we talk about that a lot this past year and this coming year. We got to be closer. So that when I have something that I need help with, I feel like I could talk to you about it. And you feel like you can talk to me about it. We can talk to God about it, but we need to talk to each other. And in Colossians 3:16, it says, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing. You know, when we're singing together, we're helping build each other up. And we all know that when you're here, sometimes you don't feel good, but after you start singing, and everything that's going on, you start feeling better. You get that confidence. Human children are encouraged physically, emotionally, with goals from their first steps to their education, to obeying the gospel, their jobs, their spouses, and their own children. And we do it whether they're ill or well, or we are ill or well, and we do it whether we're people that are involved are happy or sad. You know, as parents, you know, you see moms, you just wonder how they're going to make it through the day because they feel terrible, everything's going wrong, and they make sure their children are taken care of. Well, God's children are encouraged by meeting together and bearing with each other with a goal to all of us getting to heaven when we're happy or sad, ill or well, energized or not. You know, we encourage each other by being here. And you know as well as I do that if you're not feeling well and you still come, if you're tired from your work, something's troubling you, when you get here, at the end of services, you feel better. You know, there's just something about being a bunch of Christians and with God in our audience that helps energize us, helps build us up. But if you're not here, you can't get that at all. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Romans 15:1-3, it says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. See, that's the way parents are with their children. We do what we have to do to build our children up. Well, as Christians, that's what we have to do. We have to be here and do what it takes to build each other up. And in human children's decisions are both good and bad. And you know, God's children's decisions are both good and bad. We all have a choice. In Joshua 24:15, he tells them something most people are very familiar with. You know, if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then, as we read in Matthew 31:46, we see what happens when we make bad or good decisions. You know, he said, come judgment day, I'm going to put some people over here, some people over here, and I'm going to tell them they did a good job, or I'm going to tell them they did a bad job, and they get the reward, and they get the punishment. And our children make good and bad decisions, and we reward them, and we punish them. It's something we're obligated to do. You know, human children are disciplined for disobedience, and it's required and not desired. And God's children are disciplined for disobedience, and it is required, not desired. You know, parents don't like to have to punish their children. In fact, we live in a society where too often parents don't do that punishment. They don't fulfill their obligation to be a parent. You know, in Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, it said, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there the father does not discipline?" You know, God disciplines us to keep us on the right path. And if we fail to stay on that path, eventually we have to face him and we hear the worst kind of punishment. You know, when you raise children, you hope that all you're disciplining them as they're growing up will lead to that right decision to serve God. But you know, sometimes children make some pretty awful decisions when they become adults. And you have to make some hard decisions about whether you're going to accept their behavior or not. You know, God looks at each of us. He loves and he wants every one of us to get to heaven. But he says, you got to do what's right. And we teach our children that. We teach our children that they have to do what's right. And when we work together, we can all do more of what's right. You know, human children are a joy or a sorrow of their parents' hearts. It depends upon the decisions they make to obey or disobey. And God's children are exactly the same. You know, we're a joy or a sorrow to God's heart, depending upon the choices we make, whether we're going to obey him or disobey him. In Genesis 6, it says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of his thoughts of his heart was on evil, continually. And the Lord was sorry he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart." You know, the Lord sees us when we do wrong, and it grieves him. Just like when we see our children do something wrong, it grieves us. But in Luke 15, 7, it says, "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous person who has no need of repentance." Nothing makes God happier than for me to say, "God, I messed up. I need your help. Please forgive me." That's what that verse is about. That's the way they feel in heaven. And you know, if you're not a Christian, you don't have that opportunity for God to feel that way about you. You know, human children have rewards such as gifts, allowances, and praise for obedience. And God's children's reward is heaven for our obedience. You know, Matthew 5:12 says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." You know, Jesus says, you know, be glad. Your reward's in heaven. He said, if you get mistreated, don't worry about it. That's what people have done a lot of times to my people. And in Philippians 3:20 and 21, he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." He says, in Philippians, he says, remember, your citizenship's in heaven. You know, from it, Christ is waiting. Keep your eye on the focus on the prize. He says, you know what's going to happen? He said, Christ is going to come. You're going to be transformed out of this earthly body. You know, it's impossible for us to understand how that's all going to work. But all we got to do is wait. And when it comes, we're going to see it. You know, so you get to lesson, and one of the things you have to ask yourself is, am I a Christian? You know, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you haven't repented of your sins, and you haven't been baptized, then you're not a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, then you have no hope. You're like that wayward child that family has to quit having anything to do with. But you know, if you're a Christian, you have to say, am I a Christian who is respectful, responsible, and have I been disobedient? Am I doing what God wants, in other words? Am I being a faithful Christian? Am I using my talents for God? Do I have some secret sin in my life that nobody else down here knows about, but I need to get right? You know, that's something we all have to ask ourselves. And the most important question is, what do I need to do tonight, right now, to assure myself that I will go to heaven if I die tonight or if the Lord comes? You know, we all think we have tomorrow. I think I have to get up and go to work in the morning. But you know, if the Lord was really nice, he'd take me tonight. I wouldn't have to do that, right? But am I prepared for that? You know, it's a hard thing to say, if I die, I'm going to heaven. But it's an easy thing if you're right with God. You know, we all know what our weaknesses are, right? We all know the little things we struggle with. Without the grace of God, there'd be no hope. We're fixing to stand and sing a song of invitation. And we invite you to come if you have need of prayers or you would like to obey, become a Christian.